What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Over in Syria, the U.S. commander who's been leading the war against ISIS is out there on CNN saying that he disagrees with Donald Trump's decision to pull troops out of Syria and warned that the terror group was far from defeated, which is kind of pushing it, because as of last report, ISIS is down to a single square mile of territory, which is not a strong position. But Joseph Votel also said the U.S.-backed forces on the ground in Syria were not ready to handle the threat of ISIS on their own. Actually, Russia and Syria did a really good job of that. You know what's really going on here. If Trump pulls out of Syria, Votel's out of a job. That's one of the reasons you should be very cautious about anybody in the military saying, we must, you know, stay in the fight. We must go here. We must go there. It's their job, their promotions. And do you all remember MASH? Was a very popular TV series. Was based on a movie, which was actually based on a book that was supposedly true. And in the movie, the guy playing the colonel would begin every one of his speeches in the dark days before Pearl Harbor. And that was a head scratcher. And then I got to work with the actor who played that role on a later project. And I said, what did that mean? And he said, well, because from the colonel's point of view, before Pearl Harbor, nobody was getting promoted. There was no money for any kind of equipment or anything. Everybody was just sitting around. And after Pearl Harbor, everybody was getting promotions and money. So there you go. Now, Russia is saying so far there are no signs of U.S. troop withdrawal from Syria, even though, in theory, Donald Trump has issued the order, trying to fulfill his campaign promise to get us out of some of these places here. Now, Senator Lindsey Graham is out there saying, well, first we need to find some of our European allies to send their troops in to replace the U.S. forces. And I don't think he's going to get a lot of support from that. Maybe Britain, maybe France, maybe Germany. But I think pretty much everybody in Europe is fed up with Syria. It's a losing proposition. And again, none of those allies the U.S. wants to send into Syria have the permission of the Syrian government to be there. Now, Graham is saying the purpose is a lean joint military presence to enforce a safe zone that would protect the American-backed Kurdish forces in Syria from Turkey, watch for the reemergence of ISIS, and buy time for a Syria peace process in Geneva. Well, last I heard, that peace process in Geneva is going along pretty well. And I don't think it's going to need a lot of time. Pardon me. Yesterday, Valentine's Day, the Syrian Arab Army, and remember, that is the official army of Syria. There are so many of these groups running around, you have to keep them sorted out. Anyway, the Syrian army ambushed an ISIS unit in the Damascus desert, killing several of the terrorists, and they captured a large number of weapons and equipment, including a Conquers anti-tank guided missile launcher, several RPG-7 launchers, several machine guns, mortars, a satellite communication system, and two vehicles. And according to the Syrian army, the ISIS unit was likely attempting to smuggle those weapons and equipment to ISIS cells operating near the area of Al-Tanth. Excuse me there. In northern Hama and southern Idlib, the Syrian army repelled several infiltration attempts by the Turkestan Islamic Party and Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. And both groups have recently expanded their influence within the Idlib demilitarized zone, which has been demilitarized only by name so far. anyway, something that I'm sure the corporate media is glad not to have to report on today, or will not report on today, was this conference in Warsaw. It was supposed to be the conference on Middle Eastern security, but as it turned out, the U.S. admitted It was about reinstating the U.S. lead role in diplomacy for the Mideast. In other words, we're back in charge, guys. No making deals amongst yourself. No more treaties and no more currency deals or anything. We're back here in charge. And apparently, this forum was planned last year by the Trump administration to bring Washington back in from the diplomatic cold, which it created for itself when it abandoned the P5+1 deal with Iran. So the tearing up of that deal isolated the U.S. from the other signatories, Russia, China, and the Europeans. And so by holding this high-level conference on Iran, the idea was to burnish Washington's diplomatic standing in the Middle East. The problem is that participants, and there were representatives from something like 60 countries there, the participants saw the real agenda was an attempt by Washington to try and bolster international support to go after Iran, more economic sanctions followed by eventual actual war. And they really didn't want to hear about that. And a lot of observers are saying this thing really didn't work. In fact, there was another article out of Sputnik News saying that the conference went off the rails, and they're putting the blame on Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who just went over the top, jumping the shark with all of his talk about, you know, how evil Iran was, and they wanted to bring back the Holocaust, and they wanted to kill all the Jews in the world, and those evil imams. And having heard all of that before, back during the run-up to the 2009 attempted coup d'etat in Iran, people really weren't buying into that. So Pompeo wants to confront Iran, but how can he do it without the support of the rest of the nations in the Middle East? Because it looks like that it did. They didn't get any traction. It was a bust. The whole thing was a bust, and the U.S. is still isolated from the Middle East, except, of course, for Israel, which loves us as long as we give them money and weapons and let our kids fight in their wars. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, the little article here, this is out of Ynet News, and it's asking, will Netanyahu's grandstanding up in Warsaw help or hinder him? Because he's got an election coming up here. And they start out by referencing the 1996 Sharm el-Sheikh conference that was supposed to help Shimon Peres keep his prime minister's chair and save the peace process. And they're saying, will this work? But unfortunately, no world leaders came to Netanyahu's aid in Warsaw. So it looks like he's just as isolated now as the rest of the United States. And it didn't help when Netanyahu made a comment about how Poland cooperated with Germany during the Holocaust, which they most certainly did not. And by the way, lest you fall into the corporate media illusion that all those German slave labor camps were filled with nothing but Israelis, actually Israelis were a minority population. They were filled with Poles, they were filled with gypsies, they were filled with gays, they were filled with mentally retarded, they were filled with anybody that Germany felt didn't deserve to be in German society. And there were a lot of Poles in there. So for Netanyahu to make that comment, needless to say, it irked the Poles tremendously. And Netanyahu said, well, I'd like to clarify that. And we don't know what the clarification was, but the Polish government came on out and said they were happy with that. Now, needless to say, Netanyahu's call for war with Iran at this summit has sparked a backlash from Tehran. Now, to be fair, the government of Israel has pulled back from that, saying that it was a mistranslation. Netanyahu was speaking and tweeting in Hebrew, and the translations were botched. And so war with Iran, according to one source, is now combating Iran. According to another source, it's the struggle with Iran. But needless to say, Tehran is saying that first one is probably the correct one, because that's what Israel has been saying for decades. that Iran is a danger, Iran is a threat, Iran has to be destroyed. Iran is just weeks away from having a nuclear bomb that they're going to use on Israel. And they've been saying Iran is weeks away from a nuclear bomb for 30 years now. And as we all know now, Iran didn't build a nuclear weapon, wasn't building a nuclear weapon. And even if Iran had a nuclear weapon, they're not just going to haul off and nuke Israel, because Israel has hundreds and hundreds of nuclear weapons backed up by the nuclear arsenal of the United States of America. And the Iranians are not warlike. They have not initiated a war of conquest against another nation in 200 years. All right, let's take a phone call from Gary in Arkansas. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I'm a little behind. The phones are kind of screwed up today, but I wanted to go back to the voting machine thing. It is my understanding that these voting machines have a telephone line connected to them. Now, that machine should be a standalone item, and there shouldn't be any telephone communications in or out of the machine until they tally them at the end. I think that's where the problem is.
There's a lot of different problems. They shouldn't be connected to telephone lines. Even worse, it came on out that a lot of these electronic voting machines have built-in Wi-Fi. They're not supposed to. Now, the manufacturers of these voting machines are saying the Wi-Fi is just there for technicians to have a quick and easy way to perform diagnostics and adjustments. But obviously, it could be another way to get on in and adjust the results. Over at blackboxvoting.org, Bev Harris has documented how these electronic machines are designed to steal elections. And she focuses on the machines that were made by the Diebold Corporation using a software system called GEMS. And owing to carelessness over at Diebold, the source code for the GEMS software was left out there on a public FTP server, and Bev Harris downloaded a copy. Diebold tried to take her to court and say that she stole the software from them and get an injunction against her making it public. But the court said, no, that was just out there on the net. It's like if somebody leaves a donut out on the porch rail, it's not really stealing if somebody takes it. Well, so just going through the GEMS software, Bev Harris found no less than 12 different ways to change the election outcome and not leave a trace.
I know one thing, that the ATMs made by Diebold never make a mistake at the bank.
That's exactly right, which is
guaranteed.
Why if these electronic voting machines are this crooked, it had to be by design. And there was a huge, huge fight by all of these electronic voting machine companies to keep the inner workings of these machines top secret. There were all kinds of voter integrity groups, voter rights groups who were saying, look, all these things do are count button presses or holes in card. Why is it such a big hush-hush secret? And so the electronic voting machine company said, look, we'll set up another company, an independent company, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, that will independently validate that these machines are very accurate. But it doesn't really matter because, first of all, the machine can have an honest mode, and then by simply sending a single card through it, it can be flipped into crooked mode.
Yeah, there's so many problems with this. I'm in favor of paper ballots, and those ballots are counted at the precinct and never leave it, and the tally is shown up on a screen after they're all counted, and they have both parties present, et cetera, and they have a foreman, and, you know, the old-fashioned way.
I agree with you. In fact, if you'll go over to my website, whatreallyhappened.com, at the extreme upper left, underneath that hopelessly outdated photo of myself, you will see there is an article, How to Have Honest Elections. And it lays out a recipe for having honest elections. And ever since I put it out there, I've received emails from people in other countries saying, our election system is very much like that, and it works. So we could have an honest election system, and this one could definitely work. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it makes election fraud extraordinarily difficult, to carry out and very easy to detect, as opposed to our current system, which seems to intentionally designed to facilitate and then conceal massive election fraud.
Isn't it interesting that the host, the guest, and the listening audience all have solutions, and most of them are very good solutions to all these problems, yet the senators and congressmen can't figure it out? How stupid can
they be?
Oh, they
don't want to figure it out. They're the beneficiaries of this crooked election system. They want to have a political system where the big money people can literally buy the elections, and of course, and Congress will do favors for the big money donors. Right now, our government serves the money. It serves the power. It doesn't serve the American people. It hasn't served the American people since before the Civil War.
No, it doesn't serve me at all. I'm just a little Social Security check cashier. But I'll tell you one thing. I paid all that money in for my health care and my Social Security check. So they act like it's a gift to me. That's horse pucky.
Yeah, it is.
I paid that money in. There ought to have been interest accrued on it. They borrowed and stolen out of the Social Security fund. It's pitiful. I've had my say. Thank you. It's a very good show.
All right. Thank you very much. And, yeah, that's the way government actually works. I mean, it's not like the government makes any of its own money. They take it from one group of people, and then they give it to another group of people and say, here is our gift to you. Vote for me next election. That's how this whole thing works. All righty, getting on back to Israel and Palestine, there's a very troubling YouTube video, and it's talking about how Israel's siege on the Gaza Strip is making it difficult, if not impossible, for cancer patients to receive any kind of treatment. Now, over the last, I think it's 11 years now, Israel has controlled and restricted everything going into Gaza, and very often it causes severe drug shortages in Gaza hospitals. It's also been a real problem with all the people being wounded in these Great March of Return protests who are being shot by the Israelis. They don't have enough materials to treat them as well. But getting on back to the cancer treatment, they're talking about these patients who are being turned away because the hospitals just don't have the cancer treatment medicine. And basically, it amounts to a very slow death sentence. Now, here's the point I would like to make. Israel justifies the blockade of Gaza by saying it must restrict materials that Hamas could turn into weapons. But how does one make a weapon out of cancer medications? Just something to think about. We have another article about cancer medications further on down that might actually put a different perspective on this. Okay, former Israeli Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman yesterday is out there saying that the next confrontation with the Gaza Strip must be the last. In other words, he is advocating for Israel to simply go on in and take over the place and make it part of Israel again and just get it over and done with. And so Lieberman is basically out there saying that, you've got this Great March of Return along the Gaza Strip border fence, and saying this is leading to a major escalation with the Palestinians in Gaza. And he says it's going to happen within the next year. And he says it's time to just put an end to this. So he's out there openly talking about, you know, the final solution to the Palestinian question. He's talking about genocide. And, of course, the American corporate media isn't going to say anything about it whatsoever. Meanwhile, ever since the international observers have been kicked out of Hebron, the illegal settlers are apparently going on rampages. They're marching through the city shouting death to Arabs and Palestinians must leave and we want you all to die and things like that. Shades of Kristallnacht. Okay, we're going to take another break for commercials and we'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I want to share something with you. A couple of days ago, I got an email from somebody saying, I would like to donate, but I don't have a lot. You know, I could send a few bucks. And my response to that is, yeah, if you can spare it. There's no such thing as too small of a donation. I shudder to think that there are people out there who want to support Republic Broadcasting who are hesitant to do so because they feel ashamed that they can't send something sizable. But, you know, there is strength in numbers. And if everybody listening to this broadcast right now, and I mean every single one of you, sent Republic Broadcasting just $5, what an impact that would have. So get your paper and pencil out there. I'm going to give you the postal address. To support Republic Broadcasting, the postal address is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit card or debit card donation or pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. And that's today's message here. There is no such thing as too small a donation. What Really Happened gets donations of a single dollar, and we're grateful for every bit of it, because every bit of it does help. So thank you. The network thanks you. Getting on back to the news here, over in the Gaza Strip, since we're talking about that, Israeli forces continue to use lethal force against the participants in the peaceful protests organized along the Gaza Strip borders. This is now the 46th week, coming up on the first year anniversary, along the eastern and northern border area of the Gaza Strip. And the Israeli forces are also continuing to use armed force as well during the incursions into the West Bank. In the Gaza Strip, Israeli forces killed Hamza Mohammed Ishtawa, 17-year-old, Hassan Ayad Shalabi, 14-year-old, while and they were just participating in the return and breaking the siege march east of Gaza. And eyewitness said the civilians killed did not pose any threat to the soldiers' life. Remember, these soldiers have bunkers that they're firing from. They're not at any risk. And these are peaceful demonstrators. One Palestinian child, 16-year-old Hassan Nabil Ahmad Nofal, was 150 meters away from the fence when he was killed by Israeli soldiers. So, anyway, Israel may look to expand their covert war against Iran beyond Syria. Well, there's nothing covert about it. Every time Israel goes in to blow up some part of Syria, they're saying, oh, we're only hitting the Iranians. We're only hitting the Iranians. And Israel is always at some kind of war with Iran. They have been for decades, which is why Iran reacted to Netanyahu's comment up there in Warsaw. But ISIS is defeated, and like everyone else, Iran is scaling back its involvement in Syria. That's giving Israel fewer targets, and that's not what Netanyahu needs right now. He needs to be out there with the bombs and the blood and the smoke to try and build up the war fever to help his election opportunity. So now he's out there saying, well, we're going to have to look for Iranian targets in other countries. And so now we're getting a threat that Israel may attack what they are claiming are Iranian bases in Iraq. And no matter what you call it, however Israel justifies it, this is Israel dropping bombs on other countries. Technically, it's an act of war. And of course, what keeps those other countries from fighting back is the awareness of Israel's nuclear arsenal. I think that's why John F. Kennedy worked so hard to prevent Israel from acquiring nuclear weapons. He could see what was likely to happen. And I think the fact that Kennedy refused to allow Israel to have nuclear weapons was one of the many motives for his assassination. Okay, over in Germany, they're kicking off the Munich Security Conference, and it's going to be about transatlantic cooperation and consequences of a possible restart of superpower competition. Well, I don't think there's anything about possible. It's definitely underway. So the Munich Security Report is out there, and basically what it's talking about is that all of the countries who are not superpowers are getting very, very nervous about just how their countries and economies and populations are going to be impacted by all of this. Well, if it breaks into a full-blown World War III, yeah, a lot of it is going to get fought on European soil, just like a lot of World War I was fought on European soil, and a lot of World War II was fought on European soil. And I think the Europeans are probably a little bit annoyed that it may well happen again. We have to take another break here for commercials. We have another caller waiting on the line, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Trump made a speech earlier today, and I didn't get to watch it because I was doing show prep. But apparently, during this speech, he made a very obvious bid to get a Nobel Peace Prize. And I think this is illustrates that Trump is being driven a lot by his own ego. And apparently he made a big deal about how Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize. He was in the Oval Office for just a short time and he got the Peace Prize. And even Obama said, "What did I get it for?" And he went on to say, "I probably will never get it, but if you look at the Idlib province in Syria, I stopped the slaughter of perhaps 3 million people. Nobody talks about that." Donald, that's not very presidential to do that. Anyway, all right, let's take a couple of phone calls here. Joe in Tennessee, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, if he keeps making peace with the North Koreans, I think he definitely deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for that. And there's been a war going on for over 70 years now. So I would definitely think that he would deserve it if he does.
I want to look at the total war peace balance of the administration before I start recommending for a Nobel Peace Prize. Even though in recent years the Nobel Peace Prize has actually become a joke, if for no other reason than it was just handed to Obama for no particular reason other than politics. They gave one to Al Gore, actually to Al Gore accepted it on behalf of somebody else. They've given it to people like Henry Kissinger, who was definitely a war criminal. There are countries on earth Kissinger cannot set foot in. He'll be arrested immediately. So, and again, this is one of those things that are handed out to get you to think, oh, I should listen to this person because they've got this gold thing on the wall or on the shelf. And don't listen to people who don't have plaques and medals and stuff because obviously they don't rate in our society.
Well, if it, giving them the Nobel Peace Prize prevents them from starting any more wars, I'm all for giving it to them. So,
didn't work for Obama.
No, it
didn't work with Obama. They gave him the Nobel Peace Prize, and he was out there, you know, with all this stuff going on.
Yep. Hey, I watched the press conference after his speech, and it was interesting to me that, of course, the lapdog media, deep state lapdog media, and I didn't ask one question about the FBI coup attempt and the 25th Amendment, against Trump. And it just was, it's just interesting to me. Like, that should be the biggest, one of the biggest stories out there. But, of course, the left or deep state-controlled media, CIA-controlled mouthpiece mockingbird media, didn't ask anything about that. And in a way, you have to blame Trump for that because he's been in office for 2 years, and he has really done nothing to, like, to put a right-leaning journalist and libertarian journalist in the press, the presidential press pool. So he's going to be getting asked all these left questions because, or deep state, really, because they're not left. They're really deep state, CIA. And it's really his fault on that. And it's kind of sad to see because he has control over that press pool. He could be seeing
well,
it
not
with people.
Really, not really. Because I think what happened, I mean, when Trump first came into the White House, there was talk about how some of the stars of the independent media were going to be given press credentials, especially Alex Jones. But my understanding is that the current corporate media basically sent a message, you know, we'll walk out if you do that. Or at the very least, you know, if you think you've been treated badly by the corporate media, it's going to get a lot worse. And so the corporate media basically exerted their control over that press room.
Well, that's a shame because he is the president. He, you know, he should just tell him, well, go ahead and walk. The other thing I wanted to bring up quick was Nancy Pelosi's brooch. I don't know if you've been seeing that, but she's got the old fascist, gold brooch on her lapel. And it's you want to talk about left-wing fascism right in your face. I mean, that's what fascism derives from, the bundle of sticks called the fasci, which is Latin, which is what she's wearing on her pin. On her, she's trying to show that she's powerful. She's sending out a message
well,
to people.
Well, she is, but don't forget, on the front of the House of Representatives, on either side of the dais, there are two fascis on the wall. It is the symbol of the House of Representatives.
Yeah. But, I mean, to me, it's like her wearing that. If it was somebody from the right wearing that, the left would be going completely crazy and calling them fascists because it is a fascist symbol. And meanwhile,
well,
Pelosi's wearing it and sending a signal.
I think her message is she's Speaker of the House. That's why she's wearing it. And that is the symbol of the House of Representatives.
Well, I kind of don't. I think a little deeper than that. I think these people are very symbol alert. I mean, they're very literate when it comes to symbology, and they send messages. I think ever since she was reelected as Speaker, she's been trying to like pretend like she's in charge. She's the president. She's
oh,
trying
yeah.
to usurp
no question.
More power. And this is a power move to me. It's more than a decorative choice or, you know, she's definitely trying to send a message. And there's a lot of occultic things that go on in government and in the secret societies and all the, you know, and I think that you have to look for these symbols and look deeper in what's going on here. I mean, Trump is a Freemason, you know, Pelosi comes from a mafia Illuminati family. So there's a lot of, you know, I mean, I dabble in this stuff. I mean, but I'm curious by it. And to me, it's very in your face. She wore it at the State of the Union. She wore it the other day. She never wore it before. I mean, she was Speaker, when Obama was president. I never saw her wearing that brooch. So, you know,
well,
I think there's more of a power play here than, you know, or well, a
there's
signal.
There's no question about that. There was that quote that Nancy Pelosi, in an interview, came on out and claimed that the Constitution says the Speaker of the House is equal to the President, which is definitely not in the Constitution. Anyway, Joe, I need to let you go. We're going to take one more phone call, then we're going to close the lines because I got a lot of news to get through before the lovely Lady Claire arrives here. So let's go to Billy in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Billy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, buddy. I haven't called in for a while. Love your show. Hope Claire's doing better.
She is.
Yeah, that's great, man, because I heard from your other shows she was sick or something. I hope she's doing better.
About a year ago, she suffered a serious back injury, a fracture. But in the last month, she's really started to show some real improvement.
Oh, that's great, man. I wish the best for both of you. You're like a true patriot. So
thank you.
Love your show. It just really pains me to say this, but because when he came down the escalator and started saying everything that everybody was scared to say, I was really, you know, I still love Donald Trump, but I'm very, very disappointed on what's going on with the wall thing. So I personally went down to Spencer's Gifts, and they had a doormat with his picture on it, and I bought a copy of Art of the Deal, and I sent it to the White House with a little note that said, "What happened to that guy?"
To that manager that we saw on The Apprentice? You know, we'd like to see him again, and now he's out there saying, "Please give me a Nobel Peace Prize. Please, sir, I want a Nobel Peace Prize."
And it pains me to say this, but if he really is that great of a negotiator and a businessman, why are you putting us through this? Because it ain't all about you and the Democrats. It's about us. We need that wall. It's like if you really are that good, stop being a doormat for these people and stop caring about what they say. One more thing, boss. Alex Jones had this segment on Bob Mueller that I've been trying to call Alex Jones with this idea to try to put a bug in his ear saying, you know, that was a great thing that you just did, but you really should do a documentary on all these rats, all of them, like the Rat Pack. Call it the Rat Pack. No disrespect against Sinatra and his guys, but call it the Rat Pack and do a documentary on, you know, all of them, you know, Loretta Lynch, all of them. You know, the Clintons, all of them, and just run it all, you know, all the time. Just keep running it, you know, and then focus, because the more they don't bring these crimes to everyone's attention, they're just letting them, you know, ride the bus down the street and everyone's going to forget about it, focusing on all these stupid things like that governor or senator that's talking all this, you know, crazy liberal stuff about green this and green that, while the real criminals, the attention's getting taken off of them. Rivero Rangers hear this, call Jones and maybe he can do that. Or can you do that yourself, sir?
Not really. Alex Jones and I, we used to be friends. In fact, he actually got me started in talk radio a little more than 10 years ago, for which I'm grateful, but we parted ways over our respective views of Israel, and so I still have a high regard for Alex Jones, but he's not going to want to hear from me or anybody who supports me. Anyway, Billy, we got to let you go. We're running short on time, and I've got some news I want to get to before the lovely Lady Claire joins us, so we're going to close the phone lines right now. A former head of NATO's military committee has slammed the U.S. withdrawal from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, saying it's extremely dangerous for Europe. And this comes after Washington had suspended its obligations under the agreement that ended the arms race between the East and West back in the 1980s. Now, at this point, both the head of NATO and Russia are saying they have no intentions of starting to build and deploy new missiles. Whether the United States will unilaterally do so, of course, looks like they might, because apparently they're already tooling up this factory out in Arizona. But apparently, retired Air Force General Harold Kajut Kujat, rather, has sharply criticized the U.S. for terminating the INF treaty, calling the move a betrayal of the security of the European allies. So everybody is looking at what's going on with all these treaties that are being withdrawn. P5 plus one, INF, the ABM treaty. Okay. Apparently, well, Libya's coming up on their elections, and they are already expressing concern that the United States will try to interfere in the Libyan elections in order to get a U.S.-friendly government into power. Why? To get control over the oil and what currency it is going to be sold for. So, anyway. The Spanish Prime Minister has called for general elections for the 28th of April, and right now there's a big brouhaha over in Spain. The Catalans want independence. The majority of Spain are opposed to that idea. There have been massive protests in Madrid. Over in France, during the Yellow Vest protests, apparently France has arrested and convicted about 1,800 Yellow Vest members so far. And that does not include the people who've been wounded by these pepper spray balls that can actually blind people. So that's still going on. Now, the CIA is saying that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered the Khashoggi hit, but according to John Kirikou, don't expect Saudi-U.S. relations to change, because all that money and all that oil and all that strategic control of the region is far more important than, you know, a little death by torture situation kind of thing here. Jared Kushner has announced that the Trump peace plan won't include the Saudi initiative. Now, what he means by that is the Saudi initiative was back in 2002, is the basis of the two-state solution. So Kushner has basically said that Trump's deal of the century is calling for a single state of Israel. And if the Palestinians give up their right to return, basically, it's going to be a green light for Israel to say, well, Gaza and the West Bank now belong to us, which they've already been saying it for quite a while. Anyway, now, over in Bahrain, Foreign Minister Khalid bin Ahmed Al Khalifa basically came on out and said that the only thing preventing Israeli-Palestinian peace is Iran's toxic money. Oh, yes, it's Iran is what's preventing there from being peace between Israel and Palestine, which is utterly ridiculous. And Bahrain is kowtowing to Israel. We all know that Israel doesn't want peace with the Palestinians. They want the Palestinians to leave. Israel's idea of Mideast peace is we want that peace over there, and then we want this peace here, and then we want this peace here. It's the Golan over here, and then we're going to take a piece of Lebanon, and then we want a bigger piece of the West Bank. That's Israel's idea of Mideast peace here. Mike Pompeo is out there stating that the United States wants to, quote, get as far down the road as we can, end quote, ahead of a summit with North Korea in Vietnam this month. And Pompeo says he's sending his team back to Asia for further discussions around all issues discussed at the groundbreaking Singapore summit last June between Trump and Kim Jong-un. So Pompeo wants to sort of preload the discussion as hard as they can in favor of the U.S. But Trump is saying that, yes, he will meet with North Korea's Kim Jong-un in Vietnam on February 27th and 28th. And I don't know that anything is going to come of it. And, of course, Kim Jong-un's stature in the world goes up every time he gets to meet with the president of the United States of America. But there is still this impasse in that North Korea has made several gestures to go along with what Trump and Kim Jong-un discussed. They've closed down the nuclear test site. They've dismantled a rocket test stand. They returned the remains of American soldiers who had died in North Korea, and now they're waiting for the United States to offer some kind of a gesture in return, and it's not coming because the U.S. attitude is you give us everything we want first, then maybe we'll do something nice for you. It's a bad habit they've picked up from Israeli negotiators. Meanwhile, North Korea, possibly expecting that things are not going to work out all that well, is now working on sanctions-proof energy technologies, and they're focusing on two different areas, tidal power and coal-based synthetic fuels that could greatly improve living standards and reduce its reliance on oil imports and thus its vulnerability to sanctions. And apparently finding an energy source that isn't vulnerable to sanctions has been a top priority for North Korean officials for quite some time. And Kim Jong-un used his New Year's address last month to call on the country to radically increase their production of electricity. Now, North Korea is not doing any more development on nuclear energy as part of their discussions with Trump. But tidal power can be made to work, and it is clean. We'll be right back after these few words.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're coming up at the top of the hour and the lovely Lady Claire. We've been talking a lot about Russia's new out-of-the-box weapons and we keep hearing more and more about them. Apparently, Russia has a new stealthy strike unmanned aerial vehicle, and it apparently is quite potent. And it's called the S-70 Okhotnik B, and its first flight is planned for later this year. And it's an independent design. It's not a carbon copy of the Neuron or the X-47B. Remember when Iran hacked a U.S. drone and brought it down? Immediately that technology was spread on out. And everybody said, oh, they're going to be making copies of it. No, this is something new. And apparently this is very, very stealthy drone, even down into the infrared. It's able to greatly reduce the heat of its turbofan exhaust, and it flies at high subsonic speeds. Apparently, it's got an afterburner, which says it might actually be capable of supersonic speeds, but why would you do that if you're trying to be stealthy? Because you're going to be leaving shockwaves all over the place. Apparently, it also has onboard radar. So, quite sophisticated. Meanwhile, the Department of Defense is going to begin negotiations to start buying 485 Lockheed Martin F-35s. Ooh, lots and lots of planes here. 485 of them. They still can't get them to work, but let's go ahead and give them money anyway. And the Joint Program Office is saying they're not going to speculate about prices during the negotiations. They're hoping to keep it somewhere around $80 million a unit, but they expect the price of the F-35A to fall. Well, that's nonsense. No weapon platform ever drops in price. The defense contractors will add stuff onto it and say, oh, well, we had to upgrade this and add this. And sorry, the price is a little higher in the next unit of it here. All right, we're going to get a little bit of economic news in here before the top of the hour. The retail apocalypse is greatly accelerating in the early stages of 2019. People just don't have any money. They're starting to talk about Carmageddon again as well. Payless is going to close all 2,300 of their stores amid their bankruptcy plans. Payless has been trying to locate a buyer, but nobody wants to buy the company. And yet the government and the corporate media keep telling us the economy is fine. The economy is fine. Now, amazingly, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez cheered the decision by Amazon to scrap its plans to build an outpost in New York that could have created 25,000 jobs. And now we're getting word that Amazon does not have a plan to build it anywhere else. So it may be a signal that Amazon is expecting a slowdown in business. And they want to be concerned about costs here. We were talking about all the millions of Americans who are 3 months behind in their car loans. There's now a surge in delinquencies, and that may threaten the auto loan bubble. Okay, there's the music. Time for station identification. We'll be back with hour number three after these few words.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-919-3663. 928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.